Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Tonight's going to be just a little bit of a potpourri, as was mentioned here. In just a little while, we're going to talk about the process of choosing perhaps additional elders for the congregation. But before I get to the report on Malawi, I want to make you aware of something that you may not be aware of, and that is that there is an election coming up on Tuesday. You may not have heard that before. So don't panic. I'm not about to give you a voter's guide or anything like that. I was talking with someone about a week ago, and we were talking about the election and how the people of God respond to that, and the suggestion was made, it might be good for us just to pray about it, not in any way to try to influence people's minds, but simply to take our concerns to God. And I think that's a good idea. In fact, I know it's a good idea, because that's what the Apostle Paul encouraged us to do. When we look over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, "First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." And that's almost always where we stop reading. It's not the end of the thought, though. Paul continues and he says, "This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so he's saying one of the main reasons you want to pray for your leaders is so those things we just sung about are open to us, that we can send the light, that we can be workers in the kingdom, out in the daylight, out in the open. And so as we think about the decision coming up and obviously how that's going to impact the nation, tonight I want us to focus just for a minute or so as we pray on how that impacts us and to ask God's blessings on us as we think about a new leader coming in. So let's bow together in prayer. Our Holy Father, we are so thankful to you that you are our King and that you are the King of Kings and that there is no one who in any way rivals you, and that as your people we do not fear the leaders of this earth, no matter what they choose to do, no matter what kind of path they pursue, because we know you're in charge and we know that you are the one who will be standing when time as we know it comes to an end. But yet we understand, Lord, that while we are citizens of your kingdom, that you also have expectations for us as we think about our earthly citizenship. And Lord, in particular, as we think about the decision that's going to be made this week, not only for the position of president, but also for members of Congress, for state and local offices, that there will be people who will be influential in the direction that's taken. And Lord, what we pray for tonight is for those people, whomever they may be, who are put into power, that they will look to you and that they will lead us in the paths of righteousness. We pray, Lord, that the freedoms that we enjoy now in being able to worship you will continue. We pray, Lord, that the freedoms that we have now in spreading the gospel, not only here, but also across the world, that those will not be infringed upon in any way. We pray, Lord, that peace can abound and that good people can be put in these positions who will understand their need to be a servant of yours. And Lord, we pray for the people of God that this election will not divide, though there may be differences of opinion about how it should be approached. We pray, Lord, that the unity that is so precious to you will be precious to us and that all of us will be aware and cognizant of that. And we pray, Lord, that whatever may come, that you'll give us a spirit that we can withstand and that we can look to the future with optimism regardless of what things may look like in the present. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray that the election will go well. We pray that results can be definitive and that all can be satisfied, that things were done fairly. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us as your people to continue our message in spreading the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. The number one question that I've gotten is, why did you go back a second time this year? So the answer to that is, in May of this year, I ended my last of teaching responsibilities. And so I had told Larry that if he wanted me to come back, I'd see about getting that to happen, and he did, and so I did. That was one of the reasons. The other reason was there had been a number of people who had asked me about the famine, about how relief efforts were being done, and I just really wanted to get a firsthand view of that. And I expressed that to Larry and said, while we're teaching, if you can work that in, where I could witness some of that, that would be fantastic. And he went way above and beyond on that. And so much of what I want to share with you this evening will be about that, about what's going on with those relief efforts. But also I want you to understand that we were teaching every day. It was not just simply about getting food to people. It was about feeding people spiritually. And so we were able to do that in many different places. So just to kind of orient us here, we've had this map up a lot of times. I want to point out, though, where the city of Lilongwe is. This is where Larry lives. This is where anybody who comes to visit him flies in. And so that's the starting place. But I flew in to Lilongwe on a Wednesday afternoon, and the next day we headed out down to the southern area. And so I'm going to pull that map in a little bit. To this area that's in the Zomba district. That was about a 6 or 7 hour trip, probably should have been about a 4 hour trip, but because the roads were so terrible in some places, we kind of had to take the long way going south down through Blantyre, which is kind of like their economic capital, and then back up to the north to Zomba. So it was a good half-day drive there. The Zomba district is an area that has been pummeled in the last 2 years. You'll recall that back in 2023, they suffered tremendously from the typhoon that hit. And then this year, they've also suffered a great deal because of the drought. So it's kind of like a 1-2 punch in this region. And so that's why Larry wanted us to go there. He likes to go down to that area to preach. Moses Combi, who many of you have met, has been with us. He really likes for us to go down into that region and preach. So we were able to really accomplish two things by heading down to this southern district. So as I mentioned, many of the people in the typhoon lost everything, houses, clothes, farms, the crops were washed away. Then they replanted, then the rains didn't come. And so they've really struggled. And in both of these occasions, Christians from the U.S. have very generously provided. And the people of this area have known that provision probably better than anywhere else within the country, though as I'll show you, there were some other regions where aid has been provided. So this year, for the drought relief, there's been about $150,000 collected. And that basically matches what came in for the typhoon a year or so back. This amount did not come strictly from this group, either by our individual or collective actions. There were other Christians around the country who also contributed to get to this $150,000 number. But I will tell you this, a majority of it did. A whole lot of it came from this area. And of course, that's because of the generous nature of this group and our relationship with Larry, that we understand that it's going to be used in the right way. So, great deal of money came in for that. And Larry told me that he was able to purchase 5,500 bags, and you'll see some of those here in just a minute, of maize. So I always thought maize is what you call corn at Thanksgiving, but I found out there's a difference in this. I went to my son who, in his career, he buys and sells commodities and ships them up and down the Mississippi, and I said, So what's the difference? And he said, typically, maize means there's been no genetic modifications. So if you talk about corn, it may have that modification. If you talk about maize, it has not. And so in this part of the world, that would definitely be right. A lot of this was purchased in the northern country of Tanzania that did not suffer. They've got a very good water supply there. So Larry was able to make arrangements to buy it there at a significantly cheaper price, have it shipped to Malawi, where he's held onto it in a warehouse until I went and we start. And they had done just a little bit before I got there, and then quite a bit of it while I was there. So 5,500 bags, the amount that was sent paid for that. It's going to pay for the shipping, the upkeep of it, storing it. A lot of expense going into that. This is not an exact number, but about 20% of what was purchased went down to this southern district of Zomba that has been hit so hard. So let me just show you a little bit about how this was done. The needs were determined, of course, by Larry, Vincent, Moses, both of these men you have met before. Shad Neondo, we've talked about him. He works with Larry on a daily basis. Lazarus Ngulawe, who is a preacher there in Malawi, works a lot with Larry. I've mentioned those, and Larry has as well, of course, before. Two men, though, have kind of come on the scene in the last year with this, and I pictured them. And that is Pius Shavula, as well as Eliam Kasambala. These two men have really come on board and helped a lot with getting this organized. These two men did a lot with the typhoon efforts, and so there's almost a structure in place already where they could go down, they knew who to talk to, and they preceded us by, I think, about 3 or 4 days, and made arrangements, got everything in order so that by the time we arrived, everything was in place to make that distribution happen. Really good. All of these men are just very, very fine men. On this trip, I got to spend a lot more time with Moses. He and I rode together almost everywhere. I appreciate him more every time I'm around him. He's a guy who can get things done, which is what you need. Anyway, this group of men kind of served as our trusted representatives. We knew them, at least some of us knew them, and knew that they could be trusted. And so we delivered that relief money to them, which was then used to purchase the grain, the maize. And this is a picture of the kind of truck that it comes in on. This was in every village we visited. It would be a similar kind of truck. It's rented. They would bring it to these some places, very remote. And then once it was there, it would be delivered into the hands of elders of the churches where Christians are in need. Okay, so what we sent to these trusted representatives, they made sure that it was going to Christians only, and that it was going to elders who could be trusted. And so between this group of men, they knew a lot of these men or knew people who knew the elders. And so no questions about how well that was done. This is one of the scenes. While we were in the Zomba region, there were 26 individual churches that were determined to be in need. And so when the truck came in, it had already been determined by conversations with the elders how much was needed for each church. And so as it was unloaded, it was put in separate stacks, and the elders of the individual churches were called to take possession of it. And then once they did that, they had members who were present who got it back to their respective churches, to their villages. And so depending on the size of the church, some of these smaller, there were a couple that were fairly large, they had people who were on bicycles who took these bags of maize, loaded them on their bicycles, and then they're going to take them back to their villages. So let me just show you a few of the scenes here of that happening. I want to draw your attention in particular to this middle one. If you notice on her back, all right, she's got her baby. And then she's got this, I don't know how many pound sack of maize that she's going to ride for several miles to get it back. And the Christians who received this were instructed that two families would split each bag. And this would get them then about a month's, where each family would have about a month's supply of the maize, depending, of course, on the size of their family. What was really touching to me also was these scenes. You see these young men, they're picking up every kernel of the maize that spilled out of the bags. The next day, we gave like 21 churches their supplies in the afternoon. The next day, there were five more. So the kids were in school, and the ladies took over. There was not a single kernel left on the ground. That struck me of just how needy we think about, and this is not a guilt trip by any means, but just by comparison, you think about our meals, how much we leave on the table as leftovers. And there was one of these villages where we were doing this, and a sack burst open and spilled. And I told Moses, I said, "This is terrible. They need bigger bags." He said, "Don't worry." He said, "Tomorrow you'll never know that maize was in this village. Every piece will be picked up." So very touching scenes, but yet also very inspiring, because the people were just so appreciative of what they were given. So while we were in this area, as we were carrying this out, the reason we were there primarily was because of a meeting that was scheduled. This was a Friday night through Sunday meeting, the Jolly Village in the district of Zumba. The Friday night, I preached in total darkness, with the wind howling what seemed like about 40 miles an hour. And unfortunately, I didn't have my iPad with me, and so I had my paper copy, and I was trying my best for it not to blow away, and I was trying to hold my flashlight, and finally Pius, who was interpreting, he said, "Put it away. I'll hold your flashlight for you." And I told Larry afterwards, I said, "I don't know if anything was understood, but that was adventure preaching, to say the least." So anyway, fairly decent crowd that night. The next day, even more showed up. And this was a time where several were speaking. Larry preached a couple of hours, actually, in the morning. And then I had a couple of sermons that afternoon. So it was a most of the day kind of event. Although my favorite time in this meeting was this young lady's determination to get the water bottle. I told Larry, I said, "I have no idea what you said during that time," because I was rooting for her to get it. Anyway, just in that outdoor environment, you just don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, they love Larry. Every time Larry goes, they're wanting to schedule him again very, very quickly. On Sunday, there were 1,044 in attendance. Of course, their building could not handle this, and they had made arrangements for that already. You can see the cover that was put up. And this is only giving you one angle, but there would have been more people behind this group, more people you can kind of see in front there. So it was a very well attended meeting. Now, something a little bit different for me happened this time. I was given the opportunity to speak to a group of young Christians who meet at the Zumba campus of the University of Malawi. That morning, there were about 94, I think, present there. They're all English speakers, which was wonderful, because I didn't have to have an interpreter at all. I didn't have to think about, okay, is this going to translate over? And that was a really nice experience. Moses has a goal in mind that he wants to set up an online class where I would, from here in North Alabama, would teach these students. And in Moses' mind, he's got it figured out where he's going to be able to link other students at other campuses together for this study. I hope that can happen. I do think it would be a good opportunity. These young people seem quite serious about their faith. Of course, they need some grounding. They need some training and teaching in it, but They were very respectful, paid attention extremely well. And that was a good opportunity, enjoyed that quite a bit. And so that was pretty much our time in Zumba, although if you'll permit me, I just need to show you one thing. Finally, on the sixth trip over, I saw wild animals. Second most popular question, what wild animals have you seen? And it's usually answered by mules, dogs, chickens. We did see one trip, a little monkey that had escaped from the zoo. I didn't count that one. But these were just a whole troop of monkeys just running out in the open. And so I was happy to see that. Those other scenes just show you how beautiful this area is. It's very, very rustic area. This had been a big colonial city back in the day when Britain still controlled this region. So it's very Western, at least as it felt more like a Western-style city, but also just the surroundings are quite, quite beautiful. Anyway, on Sunday afternoon, we made our way back again, long trip back, getting in fairly late Sunday night. The next day was the Walalanji village. This all from here on out were a little bit closer. They were within a two-hour drive or so. This was an impressive group, especially their singing. It was just very, very good. The attention was very good also in the sermons. In between sermons, we were taking a break, and I was sitting there with Larry. And the night before, I had gotten an email from a very generous lady. And she said, I didn't know you were heading to Malawi. I just want you to know if there's any need on the ground you see, you just let me know. I want to take care of it. So I relayed that to Larry. And I said, do you know of any needs? And he looked up and pointed and said, they could really use a roof. You can see here, let me go back. You can see here that they had just strung up some tarps, for which I was greatly appreciative of on that day, but nonetheless, it's not going to keep the rain out by any means. What happens is these churches will build their buildings as money comes in. And so if you get enough money to put the walls up, you go ahead and do that. And so you're seeing here in this middle picture what they have, and it is just the walls. No doors, no windows, dirt floor, no roof. And so I passed this on to the lady. She said, I'm happy to do that. Moses began saying, you know, for just a little bit more, we could do the whole thing. Concrete floors, windows, everything. And I made that known to you. And I think it took 1 hour to get enough funding promised, not only for this building, but for another that I'm going to show you. At our Lower Lights meeting today, I was talking with the young men about generosity. And I said, the problem at Gooch Lane is not turning on the spigot to get money. It's turning it off. Because what happens is, you'll have far more. And when I sent the email out that the need had been met, so many of you said, I didn't even see the email, I want to give. And that number kept going up to where both of these buildings will be able to be completed. And I think as probably this week, maybe, a lot of that's going to take place. I know that Larry's working on it. Anyway, very nice group of people, very appreciative of what you're doing for them. The next day, we went on to the Nchizi district. I've been to this district before, but not to this particular group. Again, huge crowd, about 800 people showed up. This is a weekday, by the way, about 11 o'clock on a weekday. And this was about 400 more than they were anticipating. There's not a picture that's going to show you this, but if preaching in the dark is adventure preaching, here I had the experience of preaching in the round, completely surrounded by people, just a full circle of people. You can see this is after a study, the ladies over here standing up, another scene you can see here. This group, again, we're meeting outside because of the crowd size, but this probably was a group that gave me more attention than most any other I've seen. Reacting, I never know how something's going to come across in the translation. Moses is very good when he translates, because if there's something a little questionable, he can correct it. So you've got a lot of attention, a lot of interest here. And again, this is a group a little bit closer into the long way to the north this time that will receive the maize. So again, just another scene or two here. Same kind of truck, the men unloading it. The elders from the various congregations in this region will be here to collect it. You think of photo ops of an election. I want to assure you that picture of me is a photo op. Moses said, it'd be great for you to put one of these bags on one of the women's heads to show how she's going to carry it home. I said, I see so many things going wrong with this, Moses. So anyway, totally staged here, just to make you aware. But I included that to show you how these women carry this stuff. This was not a light bag. It's not totally full, but very full. And so these women are tough. They are tough. A lot of the workload falls to them. And so again, you can kind of see the life that they live, just how difficult at times it can be. The next day was on to the Maputo area. This was a village in the Kasungu district. We've been to this district several times now, again to the north. You look here, this particular group, there were 507 present. What they'll do is they'll pick up a little twig, and men will go around and they'll take all the twigs and they'll go over to the side and count them, and that's how they get the numbers. You can't see from these pictures, but just kind of imagine here there's a big group sitting here. There's a few more sitting back in this area. All these are outside just simply because there's just no room in their buildings for that. This group as well will be recipients of maize. A few pictures just to show you what's going on here. This is the other church building that, because of your generosity, they're going to be able to finish. You can see on the far picture there that they do have somewhat of a thatch roof, but look in the middle picture. You think that's going to keep much rain off during the rainy season? I also really liked how the building became the parking lot. You know, they were kind of the opposite of us. You know, they brought the parking lot in the building. These 507 people who rode in on bicycles just lined them up here in this area. But this building, again, no windows, no doors, no roof. Hopefully, here in a week or two, that's all going to be corrected as the rains continue to move in. One thing I'll point out to you, Larry made sure that at every village there was a scale so that everybody saw they were getting an equal amount and there would be no charge of favoritism whatsoever. I was absolutely amazed how that every detail of this was covered. And there was no place where at any point it kind of got out of hand or people got worried. Everybody sat until their group was called to take the maize. And so it was just a really, really well done, as we would expect from Larry and his management of something like that. So our final stop was at the Nakoma village. This is only an hour and a half outside of the city of Lilongwe. And so I was expecting that this would be a village that would be a little bit more in the city style, since they were closer. The village at Nakoma was probably the most poverty-stricken village I've been in any of my trips there. And a couple of things will point that out. Anytime you begin seeing the houses built in this round style, it's an indication that there's going to be a little bit more poverty there. If you notice, all of the roofs are thatch roofs, no metal roofs. I didn't notice this at the time, but it was pointed out that while we were teaching, there were no chickens, no goats kind of meandering around, which is the typical thing. And Moses said, that's the sign of a poor village, and that they've either had to eat or sell everything just to survive. The house there that you see in the middle is kind of the old school house, not in the sense of school there, but old style house. It's not made with the kiln-dried bricks. It is mud, just kind of made into a wall and hardened and then painted. The little round building out to the side of it is the kitchen. So again, very, very remote. The kids here were different. Most of the time when an American shows up, the kids are just surrounding that person. These kids were very standoffish at first. And so I went in and told Larry, I said, I don't think they've ever seen a guy in a blue shirt before. Of course, it was my skin color that was alarming to them. I feel quite confident many of these kids had never seen a white guy before. In fact, I have a feeling there was a baby screaming because of me, seeing me and getting scared by that. But anyway, after a little while, they started coming in a little bit closer, and the icebreaker always is to take a picture and then in turn it, show it to them. And so by the time we were finished, they were just as chummy as the others. This village, though very, very poor, very rich in wanting and thirsting for Bible knowledge, they apologized for only having 337 there. They said, there's two or three villages where there's funerals today. We would have had probably 1,000 at least there if that had not been the case. But very good interest. And of course, always it's the begging to return, come back, do a 3-day meeting there. So beautiful area, but again, just very impoverished. And this was very touching to me because as we were leaving, as all of these villages will do, they'll say, we're hardworking people. We don't want to have to take this charity, but at this particular village, they said, we're down to eating the husks off the maize. I don't know how that was being done, if it was being turned into some kind of soup or whatever, but nonetheless, that poverty, it really hit home with that statement. And you can see there, I'm standing with three of the widows of the congregation, which is somewhat of an unusual thing. I think the median age in Malawi is something like 16, so there's just not a lot of old people there. But you could tell these ladies had a tough life, but very appreciative of what they had received. So this trip was a little shorter than usual, but nonetheless, as it always does, it provides such good opportunities. And I couldn't help but think of this particular proverb on the trip, that whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. That's a passage that's worded in a way that kind of catches our attention. The boys and I talked about that at our meeting today, that we usually don't think about lending to the Lord. But the Lord says, when you help people in need, you're doing that for me, and I'm going to pay you back. You're going to be okay by all of this. And I just want to let you know on behalf of these people who received this generosity, the thanksgiving that they wanted me to bring back to you to make sure that you knew that you were appreciated. And I always would try to tell them and say, it is the pleasure of this group of people to be able to work for the Lord in this capacity. It's not something that's forced, but something that it's just indeed an honor to be able to do in the Lord's service. So I just want you to know that, and to know that what you've given has been used in the correct way, and it's been used for a people who are genuinely appreciative. Another question I get is this going to cover it? No, it's not. If we gave everything we owned, it could not fix the poverty of this particular part of Africa. But it helps. And so probably for a lot of these families, it meant that they are not going to have to go 2 or 3 days of the week with nothing to eat. Moses got a call while I was there from a friend who said, I couldn't send my kids to school today because we've not been able to get any food in. Can you imagine that? So what this does is it allows that to happen. But the great thing is, if we had not had a single thing to give, the crowd size would have been the same. because they're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And I think that's why Larry is so drawn to this region, why he stayed there probably longer than what he had originally expected. And it's just because there is so much work to do there. And I'm thankful for you that you have such an interest in that. And I know here in a couple of weeks when he gets home, he's going to express that same thing. So thank you very much for all you do, not only in this part of the world, but just everywhere. You know, when Jesus was leaving, he said to his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach them. Tell them about me. And tell them to be baptized and to become followers of mine. So I was preaching in one of the villages. I said, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you and I would never have met. Separate sides of the world, we would never have had the occasion to be in the same place. But I said, isn't it amazing that we get to meet now, but also to think that there's coming a time when we'll all be together forever. I don't know what eternity is going to look like in full, but isn't it going to be an amazing thing to be able to talk to people from all these different experiences of life, rich, poor, black, white, first world, third world, all these different things. And we'll be able to share with one another the grace that we found in Jesus Christ that put us at that level ground of the cross. And many of these people who you have helped, one day you're going to meet, and you're going to be able to rejoice with them in the fact that they, like you, came to know Jesus Christ. And I just wonder if tonight there's someone here who's ready to join that family, a family that has stretched for centuries, a people who are going to be together, eternally praising the Lord, working together with Him in that unity that He promises. And I would say if that's the case, that tonight's a good night to make that decision. To say, I want to be a part of this. I want to be saved. I want my sins washed away. I want to be a part of this family that's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that can get a little cloudy no matter where you live. And so if there's something that's troubling you, that you've become a member of this family, but there's issues in your life or you just need a prayer for strength, we'll go to God with you. If you need to respond to His invitation, you can come now as we stand and sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.